Welcome to the Kidmen Huddle, part of the Kids Matter Podcast Network. Gather round, Kidmen leaders, and be encouraged and equipped as you build the kingdom. Now here's your host, Amber Pike.
Welcome back to episode 21 of the Kidmen Huddle. If you listened to last week's episode, I started talking about curriculum and how picky I am with curriculum. And I really am. I'm picky. There are things I know I want, things I don't like, and because of that, honestly, I've been writing my own curriculum since I was 15. At 15, the little church I went to, I actually took over as the children's minister. I was, you know, a helper that got the snacks ready and helped with crafts and stuff, and I was looking at children's church and saw that they're using old lessons because they didn't have a children's minister at the time, and the lesson binders that they were pulling from didn't even have all the components. So there was not a way to have the lesson based on the curriculum that they were using because they didn't have the stuff anymore. So I went to my leadership and asked if I could take over, and they let a 16-year-old me be in charge. Now, I still have some of those early, long-ago lessons. And quite frankly, the lessons I wrote at 15 were terrible. And I have no idea why no adult told me that they were so weak. There was no depth there. I look back at them and I'm like, wow, this is weak. Now, boys and girls were hearing the Bible, which is important. And my heart was definitely in it. I was just 15 and young and didn't really know how to write a lesson. I want lessons to have a lot of meat and potatoes. I want deep stuff. I want to teach more than my kids can grasp. I remember reading on a Facebook group once someone's comment. They didn't like a certain curriculum, which I love for its depth, but they didn't like it because, well, their kids couldn't understand it. And I sat there shaking my head and thought, well, that's your fault. If you're only teaching what you think your kids can understand, where you think they're at right now, you're not teaching enough. You need to be giving them so many deep thoughts, deep theological issues. Challenge them, stretch them. Don't just go over the same little Bible stories for fact retention every week. Challenge your students and you will be amazed at the amount of depth and understanding kids are capable of. I have seen young kids thinking deep, deep thoughts about God and the Bible that honestly would put some of our adults to shame. So that's what we're going to talk about this issue. Just a quick, my things that I do when writing curriculum, because I know a lot of you, you're like me. You're picky. You write your own curriculum. Maybe you just love doing it. Maybe you have a gifting for it. Maybe your particular ministry circumstance requires you to do it, or you're tweaking the curriculum you buy. I pretty much do that every curriculum I use too. So let's dig in and talk about some things that we need to keep in mind when we're writing curriculum. When you make the decision to write your own curriculum, you're probably hearing that from God. Chances are you're going to have a gifting from God to write your curriculum. Not everyone is called to do it. Not everyone can formulate a lesson, make it where all of the kids can understand and be engaged and articulate that theological truth that you're trying to teach. If you don't have that gifting, that's okay. There's no shame in it. Maybe you just need to tweak the curriculum you purchase to make it fit your particular ministry needs. That's okay. But it starts, number one, you gotta know your kids. I think before anything else, honestly, even before you're hearing from God, I'll explain that in a minute, you have to know your kids. You need to know where they're at spiritually. You need to know, honestly, their intelligence level. You need to know what biblical foundation they have, where they're being taught at home, who's teaching them at home, if anyone. You need to know how best they learn. Honestly, you need to know how many minutes you can teach before you've completely lost them. Now, this can be challenging, no matter what situation you're in. If you are at a mega church, it's a lot of kids if you're teaching a large group. Or maybe you're like me, and you teach at a small church, and you have four-year-olds in there with fifth graders. That's a big gap. That's a big gap in every area, from attention span to intelligence to being able to understand abstract thinking versus very literal. But you have to know your kids, and kind of in on average, of course you're going to have a visitor that's new and you don't know where they're at. You don't change the lesson completely, but you need to have an average. All right, this is where the bulk of my kids are at. And sometimes, depending on the dynamic of certain kids, you might have to know that if a certain kid shows up, you're going to have to change things. You got to know your kids. That's where you start when writing or tweaking your curriculum. So say you use a certain curriculum and you love it, but it might just not work on Wednesday nights because it's more Sunday school-esque, where you're sitting and they're getting a lecture and there's a worksheet that they fill out to engage in a couple of activities, but it's not an active lesson. There's no jumping up and playing learning games and all of that. Well, that might not fly on a Wednesday because kids have been in school and they have way too many wiggles. You gotta know your kids. And equally important, you have to listen to the Spirit's leading. Be in tune with God. Be personally spending time in prayer and in God's word and praying over your ministry, over your kids. And let God lead you to what he wants you to teach. He's done this for the last couple years for my ministry. When I took over being in charge of the teens as well as the kids, God just made it clear to myself and really very coolly enough, the youth leader, that our kids and our teens didn't know how to worship. We had teens that had to go to the bathroom 3 times during a 30-minute sermon. And it's not because they had bladder issues, but it's because they didn't know how to worship. They didn't know how to sit and learn through a sermon and be fed. So, with special permission from the pastor, I crafted a 4-month series where the teens attended children's church with the kids, and we split them up and we did things together, but we taught on worship, on what worship is. And then the next year, God told me that I needed to teach the kids about who they are in him, because we have a lot of broken kids in our world. And the world tells them one thing, or their family tells them one thing, but God's word said something completely different. And then this current year, well, 2020, the year we didn't get to have, was on discipleship, on kids living out their faith, not at church because Miss Amber says so, but living out their faith on their own because they want to. And that's kind of the phase that I'm still in right now, but this was from God. And what better for my kids to learn than what God wants those specific kids to learn? Yes, you can go and purchase a curriculum from Lifeway or Group or High Voltage Kids or Hillsong, and it is going to be an excellent curriculum, engaging for kids and fun and all of these things that are wonderful. But if that's not what God wants your specific group of kids to learn right now, it's not the best. So he can do more with maybe your weak, feeble attempts at writing lessons like mine were at 15. God can do more with those if that's what he has in store for your kids than with a purchased curriculum that, you know, I don't know, wins awards if there were awards for curriculum. Know your kids, but listen to the Spirit's leading. So now it's time to start writing your lessons. You could definitely use an existing template from maybe a company you've liked and kind of go off that. or you're going to do your own thing. Wherever you start, though, you got to start with the word. I'm constantly in shock of how many curriculums never get kids in the Bible. So I beg of you, Kidmin leaders, get your kids in the Bible. Read the passage from the Bible. Don't summarize the Bible story or the Bible lesson every single week. They need to learn how to use their Bibles. Bible skills they're fading fast because curriculums aren't using them. And now they have their phones. Get them in a physical Bible. Have them looking up passages. Will it take longer? You betcha. Will you have to go and turn to the passage 80 million times? Probably, especially if you're working with little kids. But is it worth it? Yes. Kids need to be in a physical Bible and they need to practice finding things in a Bible. But your lesson needs to be based in the Word of God. We don't want lessons that are just fun for the sake of fun. We need scriptural lessons, giving kids meat and potatoes, teaching them strongly God's truths. You also need to craft your lesson based on your kids. Now, this is why knowing them is really important. So perhaps you've realized that your kids, they really loved crafts. So you need to make sure you have a good craft each week because that's what your kids, they just eat it up. Or maybe you realize your children hate crafts and you should use those very sparingly, like Mother's Day and Christmas sparingly. Maybe you know that you need extra hands-on activities because your kids just respond better to hands-on rather than lectures. Or you need to add in extra wiggle breaks because you've got young kids. Or maybe you need to add a snack time. When I started at the church that I am, they had snack time. Like little cups of Kool-Aid and little cups of snacks, and it took forever to prepare it. Then you had to pass them out and wait for everybody to eat their snack. And then you had to clean up a minimum of 4 Kool-Aid spills each week. So I slowly phased them out because I'm like, this is cutting into my teaching time. And I got rid of Kool-Aid first because literally we had at least 4 spills a day. You know, juice boxes are pricey. So we made Kool-Aid, plus we had all of it. So they were so upset when I got rid of Kool-Aid. And then when I got rid of snack time, oh my gosh, you'd have thought I cut off their legs. They just moaned and complained, I'm so hungry. They got over it though, and now they're fine. And I have the lesson time. But learn what your kids need, how best they respond, how best to reach them. And honestly, some of this comes from just trial and error, using different curriculums, seeing what works, what doesn't work. Kind of a standard for kids, though, is that it needs to be interactive. Most of your kids, and by most, I mean like a good 95%, are not going to be happy if you just sit and lecture at them for an hour class. That's not how kids are wired. We want the Word of God to come alive, to be fun. So we need to do our job to make it fun. Now, we can most definitely still be teaching deep messages, but making it fun. And we need to do that. Hands-on learning, all learning types are going to respond better if there's a hands-on element. You want that hands-on element to be reinforcing the things that they see visually and the things that they're hearing. If you combine hearing, seeing, and doing, you have reached a high level of effectiveness. I think you're at probably 97% of retention if you combine all of those things. It's also important to know about different learning styles and intelligences, and you want to try to combine those. So you need something for your visual kids to see, versus up on screen, pictures, video clips. You need something for your auditory learners. They need to hear the lesson. Maybe your music learners need some worship music in the background. Your nature lovers. Nature is an intelligence. It's one of the learning intelligences. Some kids need nature. Some kids need friends and they learn best with peers. So you have elements where maybe they're talking something, answering a question with a buddy, or they're doing partner work. But then there are those weird kids, and I don't mean weird because that's me. You have those normal kids that don't want to work with a partner. Oh my goodness, I've always hated group work. So at my church, I always give you the option. Some kids thrive on group work, and some kids like me, they hated it. So whenever I have an activity, I tell them you can work by yourself or you can work with a friend. And I've always got kids who want to work by themselves. My son's, honestly, he's kind of one of those. He'd rather work by himself. Other learning styles, math is actually learning intelligence. Whenever you can involve math, repetition is important to repeat things, especially good for little ones. You have kinesthetic learners who they need to physically be doing something. So bouncing or something that involves their body. Body awareness is important. Maybe you're learning a memory verse by doing motions, or maybe you're having the kids with their faces express the emotions in the Bible story or something. Knowing different learning styles, realizing that different kids have different learning styles and respond to different learning styles is important to incorporate in your lessons. You want to reach the maximum amount of kids. You want the most kids as possible to learn from your lessons. So, craft your lessons based on what works for your kids while incorporating a variety of different things. So it's kind of good to shake it up too. So every lesson's not exactly the same, but every lesson is engaging. You want to keep segments short. Realize that they're kids. So as tempting as it might be to teach for 20 minutes straight, lecture style, you've probably lost most of your kids, especially your younger ones. Keep segments short and have several of them reinforcing and teaching even the same part, short segments. You want to make sure your point is clear. If you ramble on and you use a lot of abstract concepts and, you know, church sayings, you're going to lose kids. Make sure your point is clear and reinforce it. And every lesson, give the gospel. You never know what God is doing in the heart of a child. You never know how he's moving them, how he's speaking to them. And you will be amazed when sometimes it just clicks for a child. So give the gospel every lesson. Kids need to hear over and over and over that they are a sinner in need of a savior, and Jesus is the only way to have their sins forgiven and the relationship with God restored. Use the same verbiage, the same wording over and over. Pick one that makes sense and stick with it. Maybe you're going to use to become a Christian, to be saved, to be a child of God. Whatever you use, stick with it and repeat it as you give the gospel over and over. And as you've crafted this amazing lesson, it fits your kids. It's deep. It's challenging them. It's teaching them God's truth. It's applying it to their lives. It's all of these awesome things. You know they're going to love it. As you're teaching, don't be afraid to completely toss out that lesson. Yep, all of that prep work, that awesome lesson you know they're going to love. Listen to the Holy Spirit while you're teaching. And if you get led into a different direction, go. Because that's where God's speaking to kids. I remember one week, I don't know what we were teaching on. It was, you know, regular lesson lineup following a scope and sequence. And we got on to angels and demons and heaven and hell. And we had visitors that day, and it was like a deep line of questioning. And I actually went and talked to the parents afterwards, and I'm like, hey, normally we're not this doom and gloomy, because it was about, hey, hell's real. You're going to go there if you're not saved. It was a lot. It was heavy. It was a lot. And I just kind of wanted to smooth it over with mom and dad and let them know this isn't the normal lesson. This was just what the kids were thinking and feeling and needing to know about. That's okay, because that's what the kids were thinking and feeling and needing to know about. Now, don't hear me. I don't avoid talking about heaven and hell and angels and demons. It was just really heavy, like crazy heavy that day. Some of my best lessons are the ones where we go off script and I answer kids' questions, what they're dealing with, what they're worrying about. Go off script when the Spirit leads you. So as you think towards or continue to write your own lessons, find out what works for you, your particular ministry with your particular set of kids. And don't be surprised or discouraged when that awesome lesson you have spent hours pouring into, making it awesome, bombs. Because it's going to happen. You're going to have this amazing lesson. You just know your kids are going to love. Oh my gosh, they're going to have so much fun. And they're going to remember it for the rest of their lives. And then when you actually teach it, it falls so flat and no one is listening and everyone's having a miserable time. It's going to happen. That's okay. Learn from it. Maybe you realize a certain aspect in there just didn't respond well with your kids. Or maybe it was just one of those funky days. It's going to happen. My best tip, whether you're writing your own curriculum or you're tweaking something you've purchased to make it fit your ministry a little better, my best tip is passionately teach boys and girls to have fun learning God and His Word. Let your passion for God and the faith shine through. Let kids see that you're excited to learn about God and His Word. Make it exciting for the kids, because it is. It's the best news ever. And Kidmin leaders, we have the amazing responsibility to share this with boys and girls. So do your best. Make it fun. Be passionate about it. And that passion will shine through for kids. And it will be a little contagious. And it will catch with them too. And remember, Kidmin leaders, what you do matters.